All right, it's good to see you on this evening. So very thankful that you're here. Hope you had a wonderful day. We've been blessed to gather together. Any visitors among us, we're thankful you're here, and it encourages us. You made that decision. Just a couple things here, or one main thing, I guess. Let's not forget that Brother John is leaving for the Philippines on Friday, so I won't get to see him until he comes back because I won't be here Wednesday. So let's be mindful of him and his safety and the travels that he's going on. And speaking of travels, Christy and I are going to run out to Missouri for a few days, 3 or 4 days, help our daughter move. So again, I won't be here Wednesday. If you would, keep our family in your prayers. Then, of course, we have several that are not doing well, and especially we're going to be mindful of Brother Terry and his surgery on Tuesday, as Brother Paul added in his prayer. We need him back, so let's be prayerful concerning that. Now, this evening's lesson, and I can't remember if I changed it in the bulletin. I may have changed it, because the lesson I'm going to do tonight, no PowerPoint. I just changed it. I decided on Friday to change it, but I did reprint the bulletin to add something else in there, and I can't remember that I added in there. Either way, it's not the original lesson. I was going to do a part two, two-part lesson, but hopefully next Sunday and the Sunday after that, we're going to have two Lads to Leaders PowerPoints. I don't want to do one tonight and then, a month later do part two. So if it's not in there, I apologize. And so I want us to think about our main study text will be 1 Timothy chapter 6. And, the Bible has a lot to say on how to gain and maintain and live the abundant life. So you can turn over to 1 Timothy 6. I just want to mention something here in John chapter 4. But also, one of my favorite passages is actually in John chapter 10. Where Jesus says, I came that they, talk about the sheep, his sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. I just love that. But here in John chapter 4, I just love the idea of the abundant life. So Jesus, you probably know the story, meets a woman of Samaria, heat of the sun, by a well. And here he offers her living water that will spring up to eternal life. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now drop down and read verse 14 with me if you would. And he continues in this conversation, of course, with her. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And I just love the thought of that. There's so much greatness and blessings that are offered to Christians. And we often don't hold on to those promises. We let the troubles and the trials and the sin of this life to drag us down and to defeat us and keep us in the bondage of sin. And like I've said many times is, I think a lot of people just get enough religion to make themselves miserable, right? How sad that is when we know that all spiritual blessings are in Christ and they're available to us, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. But Jesus, you can even see in this story right here, came to rescue us from all of that, right? Jesus came so that we can have the abundant life, and then here to a life that springs up to eternal life. So question here is, I want us to think about when we go to 1 Timothy 6 is, do you have that type of life? Right? Do you have a life that's filled with the joy of the Lord, a life that's filled with a peace that surpasses understanding? Right, and I want us to know as we look at our study text that we can have that, and it's a gift from God to each one of us if we'll take it. He's not going to force it upon us, but he's offering it to each and every one of us. So First Timothy chapter 6. This may at first seem like an unusual place to answer that question of how to gain that abundant life. But I want you to see this here. I talked about the gift God is offering us. And the thing about it is there's conditions to that gift. Right? He's not just going to zap it in us. He's just not going to force it upon us. But the Bible gives us this, a how-to, right? Instructions right here on how to live the abundant life. And so as Paul closes out this letter to Timothy, we see the answer as to what Timothy needs to do, and therefore what we need to do to possess the greatest life that we can possess here in this life. And we had it read in our scripture reading, but I want to read verses 11 and 12 again. I'm going to actually read them a couple times throughout the lesson here. But look at 11 and 12 again, 1 Timothy 6. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, when you read that, if you're like, I want that, and hopefully you want that too. So I want us to note four things here in these two verses on how we can have that, how we do that, how we can have that abundant life that's being offered to us. And I want you to note, number one is flee. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Right? You want the abundant life? Well, if you do, there's things of this world that you're just going to have to run away from. You're going to have to flee from them. And, Paul just told Timothy in the context here, we're not going to read all the context, but if you were to back up, especially verses 3 to 10 leading up to that, he's talking about stuff, things, right? Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, right? They didn't flee from that type of carnal thinking, right? We're going to see the word next, pursue, or we're going to change that to follow. They're following the wrong things, like the two paths we talked about this morning. You've got this path that leads to destruction. It's broad, it's easy, it's even comfortable. You can go down that path or this other road that's narrow and difficult. What are you following? What are you fleeing from? And so here in the context, it's about stuff. It's about things. And, Paul's writing, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people wandered away due to that drive just to have more stuff. Right, that it's all about things, and so simply stated, there's times when we need to run away from that. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7 to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember Joseph with Potiphar's wife, he fled. There's things that will destroy us that we just have to run away from. So Paul here then after that he calls Timothy one of the greatest descriptive names that you can give, I think, and that is man of God. And so listen, what sets us apart from the rest of the world? What makes us different? Well, we're a people that understand the destructive nature of sin, right? We understand this. We've heard it a million times. Let's listen to it again. 1 John 2, beginning of verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So what makes us different is we seek to identify those things that will destroy us, that sin, and we flee from it. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we're told to discern between good and evil. That means God has given us what we need to discern between good and evil, right? And that's the Word of God. And we fill ourselves with that, and therefore we can discern between good and evil. And we're aware of Satan's tricks right? Using lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life to get us not to flee. You know, fleeing from that sin that so easily entangles or ensnares us, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. But run away, that's number one, first step in the abundant life, fleeing from sin. But number two, look at verse 11 again here in our study chapter. So, but you, O man of God, flee these things, and then number two, pursue. We're going to change that to follow, so it will remember it a little easier. New King James says pursue here, right? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So these five qualities here help to define what a man or woman of God follows or pursues. Right? It's great to run away from evil, but we need to then fill our lives with something. Right, getting rid of evil and not filling up with these things here, these godliness, these righteous things, it's going to leave you empty and vulnerable. Right, so we need to fill ourselves with the good things of God. That's a list right there. Right, do word study in all of those: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Right, do a word study on that and break that down and fill your life with that. Right, because you're fleeing from evil and sin. But now I'm going to pursue these things, you know, and really meditate on what does it mean to pursue patience? What does it mean to pursue gentleness? What does it mean to pursue these things, to follow after them? You know, when you put these attributes on and you shed the greed of this life, remember the context, going back to verse 3, right? You shed following physical things for carnal pleasure, right? The things of this world, and you put on these things, right? This is how you gain the abundant life. And by the way, very similar to Galatians chapter 5. There, when he talks about, the works of the flesh are evident. And then he goes on and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Right, he's saying you got to get rid of those things, but then fill yourself with the fruits of the Spirit, these attributes of Christ, right? To be more like Christ every day. And even in that, Galatians chapter 5, he talks about joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So think about here, you know, what are you pursuing in your walk, in your day-to-day walk? What are you following? And who are you fighting, maybe? Number three, I want you to note here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so, flee sinful things, pursue righteousness. We got that list. But number three in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. So number three is fight. You know, and the idea here is to keep on fighting to the end, right? Never give up. Near the end of Paul's life, he wrote that second letter to Timothy. If you would, jump over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, but not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing." Listen, if you've loved his appearing, you're going to fight the good fight. You're going to fight the good fight by fleeing from destructive, sinful things and following righteousness and the things of God. That's fighting the good fight. And there's something in this, I need to remember when we're talking about fighting. People aren't your enemy. Satan's your enemy. Remember Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Right? So other people are not our enemy. Even those out there that proclaim, you know, the wildest, most radical thing out there, they're not our enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is Satan. Now, they might be a powerful tool for him, But again, we're told scripturally, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Right? It's sin and evil and the powers of Satan. And I have to fight the good fight to never let my faith end. And again, it's not easy. But in that abundant life, I want to possess the great and precious promises of God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. And I want to build my house on the rock of Christ. Right, I'm called to fight sin in order to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Philippians 3 and verse 12. All right, so flee, follow, fight. But there's one more thing here in our study text I want us to draw from the passage. And so all the things that we've mentioned so far are important, but the what is based upon the who. So number four here, I want you to note this in verse 12. Right? So flee, follow, verse 11. Go into verse 12, fight the good fight. Number four, of faith. So faith is number four. Be faithful to Jesus. Now, Paul here is going to hearken our minds back to that time when Jesus was standing before Pilate. In Pilate's hall, in verse 13, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. You know, there, if you went and looked at that account, mainly in John chapter 18, right? If you remember that, he was asked if he was a king. Remember that? And Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. If it was, his followers would fight for him. And in this here, in John 18, Jesus claims kingship. And he'd go on to be crucified with the words above his head, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, right? And they didn't understand kingship, but he was claiming kingship nonetheless. So go back here to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read 14 through 16 again. We've read 11 through 13, beginning in verse 14. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearance. So he's casting our minds to the end. Right? And we see that a lot of time in scriptures when we're getting a problem, like verses 3 through 10, you know, following carnal desires, then we get the answer. We get a how-to. Right? He tells us, right? Flee, follow, fight, faith. And what's very interesting, many times if you're looking a little further after usually glorifying the Lord, you're going to get a section to cast our minds to the end. A reminder of the day of judgment. Right? And that's the same thing right here. Right? So if you're thinking about this, well, you know, I guess I should do those things. You know, when it's convenient, I'll start to flee from sin and follow righteousness and, you know, and fight the good fight. You know, I guess I'll work it out when I get. No, he's saying this is a time-sensitive issue. Right? Jesus is coming back or you may die, right? Whichever happens first, you better be ready. So I wanted to note that here, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. See, we don't know when he's coming. He who is blessed and only potentate, New King James says, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. And so I want us to note here who is important, right? We've talked about the what, right? What do we do? Flee, follow, fight. But let's talk about the who. Who's important? Well, it's Jesus. Who's the King of the King and the Lord of Lords? Well, it's Jesus. Who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light? Well, it's Jesus. Who are we to give all honor to? Well, it's Jesus. And so listen, the abundant life, the living water there in John 4, the peace that surpasses all understanding, all comes from Jesus. Right? I flee from evil, I follow righteousness, I fight the good fight, and I'll be faithful to Jesus. Right? Be faithful unto death, you will receive the crown of life, John tells us in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And so by way of conclusion here, just something I thought about when I was thinking about this passage. You know, I was thinking, would I die for my faith? Right? Would I die for my faith? Would I take a stand if I thought that it would cost me my life? Would I be faithful to Jesus? Now, I say that I would, but I've never been put in that situation. Right? There's been countless men and women who have, and they did exactly that. And they understood. You know, they understood to flee from evil and follow the good and fight the good fight, right? They understood it because of who was important, and that's Jesus. One last verse back here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and we'll offer the Lord's invitation here. Listen, when you become a Christian, the Bible teaches that we die to self in order to be born again as a child of God. So in that sense, I want you to think about this. Are you willing to die in order that you might live, to have the abundant life, have access to the springs of life, living water? But let's be reminded of this, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when you answer that question, are you willing to die so you can be born again? When you answer that question with a yes, then you'll know what and who's important in order to have the abundant life. And with that, if you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, we don't know when Jesus is coming. He set that time. We don't know when we'll take our last breath, right? So get prepared. And, you know, at the least, let's sit down and open up the Bible and let you see what the Bible says. You know, it's not just me making this up. You have to put on Christ in baptism with a response of faith, right? You're determined to love God. You choose God. You're willing to carry your cross daily. You're not ashamed of Jesus. You're willing to confess him before men, repent of your sins, change the path you're on, and then reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water, Romans 6:3-5. That's the call for you. And what a great and wonderful joy it would be this day to end this day with that, adding another soul to the kingdom of God. So if you need to do that, we'd love to help you, or you just need encouragement or prayers or need to be reconciled to God, let someone know if you would as we stand, as we sing.